Clayton Keller's been on the Chirp before, but this is totally different. The Coyotes coming off an epic surge through their schedule. We'll address that, running the gauntlet through Stanley Cup champions, and the secret to Andre Tourney's success as a coach. This is research, this is learned, and this is applied coaching philosophies. Plus, the real reason to stage next year's four-team in-season tournament. I'm owning it. It's the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Heads up! Oh, how'd that feel, old man? That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
Hit him, light him up, light him up.
Yeah, nice hit!
That's solid.
All right, we're all pumped up, ready to go. A lot of things to touch on this week, and we'll pop in and out of different areas, but the interview with Clayton Keller coming up is revealing in the sense of how much he allows all the noise to get inside that dressing room and his own personal space, and what Andre Tourney has meant to his elevation of his game. There's something special going on there. Imagine this. Arizona makes the playoffs, and then there's a playoff game at the Mullet. I don't think a lot of people have taken time to really absorb that possibility, but right now, they are on track for that. Ways to go. A team that's in a really good spot right now occurs out of the Southern California market and then the Los Angeles Kings, and it's one of the most unique approaches to a run at a division title. They're located in Southern California, but really, the LA Kings' dominance is scattered all across the National Hockey League, with the LA Kings' record for road wins extending into double digits to start the season. Teams don't usually do a majority of their damage away from home. And think about it right now. You play 42 road games. You're already into double digits to start the year without a defeat. You're looking at 25 wins to 30 on the road if you're 500 or a little bit better the rest of the way. That puts you into 50-win, 55-win season. That gives everybody optimism in L.A. that this will really give the Stanley Cup champions a push in that Pacific Division. And so you've got the road success. Then you also have to factor in that Los Angeles is the team that puts the lowest amount of money into their goaltending. And they're getting some great play out of Cam Talbot. The second biggest save percentage increase year to year is happening. Actually, he's number one. Marvelous job by Jordan Binnington and Cam Talbot. Talbot's trading places. Binnington's in St. Louis. But they're 1-2 with Cam Talbot being the best in the best improvement from year to year in save percentage. So is he earning his money? And they look like geniuses right now. It's a protected environment for goaltenders. I'm not going to say Talbot's doing it all on his own, but it shows that you can go at this a different way. I think much on the heels of what Bruce Cassidy and Vegas did a year ago. They're also getting like renaissance performance out of Anze Kopitar. I can't even say renaissance because he's been great for the last couple of years. And a breakthrough season from Quentin Byfield. And Trevor Moore is one of my favorites. LA's chasing the Kings for the Pacific Division title. That division has really separated into a couple of groups, which includes Vancouver. Those are the ins, the cool kids. And then you have the outside looking in. Edmonton and Seattle, playoff teams a year ago, they're scrapping and clawing right now. And Calgary also in the mix. They're all looking at right now a wild card spot. And maybe if they really get hot, they might be able to chase down or have a look at a top three position in the Pacific. But at this point, it's Vegas, it's Vancouver, and it's LA as your top three past the third mark of the National Hockey League season. And who would have thought that the Central Division coming into this year, I had them as probably the weakest division. Well, I did have them as the weakest division. Shouldn't say probably. Stick to my my preseason analysis. I didn't have the Central as a major player. But at this point, as I talk right now, the Central has both wild card spots. And a big reason why that's happening is the play of the Arizona Coyotes. And that kind of leads me into this. The NHL trophy races are something that we like to jump in and out of at times. But you look at the Art Ross, the Hart, the Vezina, the Norris, it's all wide open. Jack Adams, who's coach of the year? There's certainly some guys that have done great jobs. Again, Vegas coming off a Stanley Cup championship competing. Jim Montgomery, great in Boston. But then people like to vote with their most improved hats on. And you get some teams that have jumped into the mix, like Detroit or like Arizona. I only have one category where a player has separated himself from the field, and that is Connor Ingram in the chase to win the Masterton for perseverance and dedication. Connor Ingram, the goaltender with Arizona, tried to retire a couple of years ago. He was with Nashville, walked in the office, said, I'm done. Didn't want to do it anymore. He was convinced to get treatment, and through therapy, Connor Ingram was diagnosed with OCD. He's now with Arizona. He's worked his way back into a full-time National Hockey League position and then has added to it by playing his way into being the number one guy with the Coyotes and has them in a playoff position right now. The Coyotes just went through the toughest stretch of the schedule this year. They played the last five Stanley Cup champions in a row. What a genius work of the schedule that is. In one way, you can market that and sell that as your team as a challenge. And the other way, I'd be thinking, that's a heck of a hill to climb. This could knock us off stride. So it's an opportunity on one side, and that's the way Arizona looked at it. We'll get more on how they approached it and tackled it in a second. But it was an incredible opportunity, and they ran the table. 10 points out of a possible 10. And that forces us to really give the Coyotes some love. And it was Clayton Keller that answered the call. So let's talk about the Coyotes with Clayton. He's their top guy. He's playing with Logan Cooley on that number one line. And what a acquisition he was to get him to leave college early. And then you've got the Connor Ingram story. And there's international implications with the Arizona Coyotes, especially with Clayton Keller, who joined us again on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Completely honest, did you realize that you had this run of games against previous Stanley Cup champions on your schedule?
No, not really. I think, our team had, a rough stretch there. We lost a couple games and, kind of had a team meeting and kind of looked at, who we played the next game, just took it one game at a time and started to play better. And now looking back, I guess it is pretty crazy. And who knows if that'll happen again, where one team plays, consecutive games against, all the teams that have won.
What were you feeling when you looked up the schedule and saw that?
Honestly, I don't know. Not much. I think, what I try to do is just take it, day by day, game by game, and not look too far ahead. So, maybe after like the second or third game, we kind of like, oh, these are, some great teams and, teams that have won.
Is this the most fun, the best run that you've been on?
I think it's definitely up there. We've shown, good stretches here and there, and, it's early, and I think, you don't want to get too high and, think of, how good we are, but, I think we still have a long way to go and we're learning and, you're going to have ups and downs. So I think, we're just trying to, stay in the moment and go from there.
But it's a pretty good measuring stick when you go through a gauntlet like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said, we had, a couple rough games there before the Vegas game and, kind of going over a lot of things and, team meetings and things that, we needed to clean up if, we wanted to be successful. And if we didn't, those five games or whatever could have got ugly. So it's nice to see it go the other way.
Can you take me into what changed, whether it was tactically or just perception of your execution?
Yeah, I think, we kind of got away from defending a little bit and, caught on the wrong side of pucks, just little things like that. And, You know, I think it was great for our team to, you know, kind of maybe hit a wall there and, you know, learn from it. I think, you know, we did a great job of responding and, you know, showing what we can do when, you know, we play for each other, or play the right way and, you know, have fun every single night.
Who is the loudest voice in some of those meetings? Is there somebody that can get credit for this?
I mean, I think it's everyone. I think, you know, we're a pretty tight, you know, group, and, you know, our coaches, you know, really listen to, you know, our input, and it's kind of a, you know, back and forth relationship. So it's nice to have that. I wouldn't say it's, you know, one guy. I think it's everyone.
Because sometimes those meetings can get a little heated. What were yours like?
You know, they were pretty good. Maybe some, you know, clips that, you know, maybe you didn't want to watch, you know, from, you know, everyone, not just singling out one guy or anything like that, just kind of going over, you know, simple mistakes and, you know, things that, you know, we needed to clean up, like I said, and that's, you know, part of the job. And, you know, when you always have those, you know, you always want to respond and play for, you know, your teammates and your coaches as well.
You've had individual success, but part of me thinks that you experiencing this run, you got to reflect back and go, this is what it's supposed to feel like playing in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, going through the rebuild a couple of years and, you know, almost needing, you know, our A+, you know, plus game every single night to win. And, you know, now we have, you know, great roster, coaching staff. You know, I think it shows, you know, we're making steps in the right direction, and, you know, we still have a long way to go, but it's nice to have some success here early. And, you know, like I said, we just want to keep it going.
But you're right in the mix right now. I know you know that, but I feel like it bears reiterating.
Yeah, definitely. We're, you know, we've played some, you know, great hockey clubs, and, you know, you want to, you know, play your best against the best teams. And obviously, you know, even the Central is, you know, a lot of great teams, a lot of, you know, games where, you know, maybe we should have won and we didn't, and, you know, ones that we stole. So, you know, you're just, like I said, taking it, you know, game by game.
But can you allow yourself at all to look ahead and say, are we ahead of schedule? Are you ahead of schedule?
It's tough. I think, you know, we're a super young team, and, you know, we're learning how to, you know, be a good team, and, you know, how the best teams do it consistently. And, you know, every single night they show up and, you know, they play, you know, a certain way, and, you know, the winning teams seem to, you know, do it more than others. And I think, you know, that's something that we're kind of going through and we're figuring out. And yeah, I think that's all I'd have to say, honestly.
And you're getting some great goaltending by Connor Ingram, who has usurped Andre for the starting job with some masterful play. How well did you know Connor before he joined your group?
Yeah, not super well. You know, he joined us, you know, last year, kind of midway through the year. And, you know, I didn't know too much. I played against, you know, him in the World Juniors there, but that was it. And, you know, he came in, you know, from the first day and, you know, worked super hard, and he's always been, you know, super talented. And, you know, he's off to an unbelievable start this year. And even in practice, you know, you can see the swagger and, you know, how good he is, really.
And his story is incredible, what he's been able to overcome. Does that make you extra sensitive to being elated for somebody?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's great to see him have success and to, you know, kind of overcome that hurdle and, you know, come out on the right side. And, you know, just even his story, other people can look at that. And, you know, people that are going through, you know, similar, you know, situations can, you know, look up to that. And it's motivating. It's motivating for everyone. So, you know, it's super awesome to have a guy like that, you know, on our team and playing so well.
You know, playing at the Mullet is a different situation, but have you noticed that, because the opposition has a lot of people in there, have you noticed a different vibe in the last little bit at your own rink?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, every game's, you know, a good experience and, you know, great for the fans. You know, it's, you know, super close to the ice and, you know, usually super loud, especially, you know, if we're playing, you know, big name team or anything like that. So, you know, it's great to you know, have people in there and kind of.
But you know what I mean? Like, the other teams travel well because it's great weather and they make a vacation out of it. I'm wondering whether the Arizona fans are louder lately and with this start.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, like you said, it's great to see that, you know. You know, it's a unique experience. You know, sometimes the fans will be going back and forth. So it's, you know, it's pretty fun to be a part of. And, you know, we just want to fill that building with, you know, all of our fans.
What can you tell me about Andre Tourney and what he's been able to do in his time with you under his tutelage?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely a player's coach. You know, he's such a caring guy. You know, he really, you know, I think he treats everyone differently. I think, you know, we kind of had a test, you know, a couple of years ago, just like a personality test, learning how to coach everyone. So I think that, you know, goes to show, you know, how much he does care. And, you know, he might have to coach me differently than someone else and someone else differently than the other person. So I think, you know, that's what makes him great. And, you know, he's definitely, you know, hard on us. And, you know, we all, you know, want to play for him. And, you know, he definitely tells you, you know, straightforward how it is. You know, if you're playing well, you're not playing well, and here's what to work on. And he's always looking for solutions, you know, players' input on things. He's not, you know, shutting us out of any of the conversations or new ideas. So I think, you know, everyone on our team would tell you the same thing, yet, you know, we love playing for him. And, you know, that's a guy that we want to go to war with.
Hey, can you tell me more about this test or the course or whatever he took about coaching different people different ways?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a long list of, you know, just different questions. And I guess everyone answers it differently. There's some, like, multiple choice on just, you know, how you react to certain situations or things like that. And I thought that was, you know, pretty cool to, you know, see him do that and learn to really know everyone, because everybody is different and they react differently to different things.
How does he coach you then?
Yeah, I think definitely super competitive, and especially, you know, in games, I get pretty fired up and I always want to, you know, make a difference and, you know, make an impact. And I think, you know, he does, you know, a great job when I'm, you know, getting maybe too high or too hard or yelling too much. I think he's, you know, good at, you know, calming me down. And, you know, there's definitely times where, you know, he can, you know, yell at you or things like that, but, you know, it comes from a good place. And, you know, that's, he's just trying to get the best out of you to perform and help the team win.
I have one kid that I have to yell, settle down. And then I have another kid where if I say yell, settle down, she's done for a week. Which one are you?
I guess a little bit of both. I like, you know, sometimes to, you know, hear it and give it to me. And, you know, that ultimately, you know, want to makes me perform better. So that's kind of how I've always looked at it, I guess, is, you know, when someone is hard on you, that shows that they care and they want you to succeed. And so that's kind of how I look at it.
What do you think of Logan Cooley's start to his National Hockey League career?
Yeah, Tools has been, you know, he's been great. It's been great to get to know him, spend some time with him. Obviously, we had, you know, some conversation in the summer. Such a talented, skilled player, and definitely one of the fastest players I've ever, you know, played with. He can, you know, fly on the ice. So, you know, it's great to, you know, play on a line with him now and start to figure each other out. I think, you know, chemistry, you know, can take some time. And I think me, him, and Nick Schmaltz are kind of learning that now. And, you know, it's good to have some success last game and, you know, build on that from there. But, you know, from what I've seen, he's, you know, such a great player. He wants to get better. He works hard. And you can tell, you know, he's puts a lot of pressure on himself. He's, you know, kind of quiet like I was or still am. But, you know, he definitely wants to be the best and, you know, succeed.
What's the unlock code or unlock area that makes it click when you guys start going?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can definitely be super good on the rush. You know, he's got so much speed and, you know, he's super smart, and we can back a lot of teams off and use, you know, our speed to our advantage. And I think that's something we're kind of figuring out. And, Like I said, I think chemistry takes a while, like to just know guys' tendencies and knowing where guys are at. And like I said, I think we're just figuring that out now. We're getting a little bit better each game, and that's, you know, fun to be a part of. It's a challenge, you know, playing together here. So I'm looking forward to it.
How much have you been following the possibility of the in-season tournament next year?
A little bit. Not too much. Not too much. I haven't heard a ton about it, I guess. But, yeah, I think that'd be awesome. I think, you know, when the World Cup of Hockey was on and whenever that was so fun to watch. And, you know, I watched every single game and was wishing that, you know, they did that every single year. So, yeah, I think that'll be definitely great for the game for sure.
Do you start going through or do you spend any time on maybe Team USA's lineup and what it could look like and where you would fit?
Not really, no. I think I'm...
I do like every country, but you don't do it at all?
No, not really, no, I don't. I'm just, you know, focused on, you know, the season and, you know, the extra stuff will take care of itself.
Okay, Olympics, that is on the horizon too. Where are you on that front?
Same thing.
Not thinking about it at all?
No.
I think you're just playing with me.
No, there's stuff to worry about.
Okay. Where were you drafted? What city?
Buffalo.
Oh, is the Buffalo draft? Okay, the Austin man. Okay. Because they're talking about the Sphere.
That sounds awesome. My parents actually went to the U2 concert there. I think it was last month, and they showed me a bunch of videos and stuff. My mom said it was like unbelievable, like the sound of the music and like the screen behind. So I think, yeah, that's definitely pretty cool for sure. I'm sure maybe other leagues will follow after if it goes well.
Who hooked them up with tickets?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Because that's a good pull right now.
Yeah. They said it was awesome.
Who would you like to see at the Sphere if you could watch a band?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'd probably have to say like Pearl Jam or Red Hot Chili Peppers, one of those two. I think that'd be pretty special.
Okay, if they play, I'll get the tickets. We'll go.
Perfect.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
I think Clayton ponders the Olympics or next year's four-team in-season international tournament that the National Hockey League and the NHLPA are going to get together on a little bit more than he lets on. I go through it, and I'm wondering, who are going to be Team Canada's four centers? Team USA's down the middle, stacked. On the wing, Team USA is so good. Clayton Keller does fit into that mix, but how much is going to be infused from players that have never played on the big stage, like a best on best or a best on almost best, as we're going to see next year. That's going to be the real story for that four-team tournament between Finland and Sweden and Canada and Team USA. It's not going to be, at least on the outset, until you get down to the last game, it's not going to be about who's the best nation in the world. Honestly, it's going to revolve around the debuts of the likes of Connor McDavid in a Team Canada uniform playing best on best, or Connor Bedard. He's got to fit in there next year. Now, Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel on Team USA, we haven't seen them in that position before. The Hughes brothers, all on Team USA. Could you see it? Clayton, Cale Makar, going down this of these players that we have not seen in this position of a best on best. World championships, yes, but not in this situation. And you can't play off of any other roster because it's too long ago. Got close with the Olympics a couple of years ago in 2022, but didn't get there. So this is going to be brand new. The Olympics in 26 in Italy, that will be about winning. Who's going to take the gold medal? But this is almost perfect for the federations, for the coaching staffs that get named to the teams to have this run, and for the players to be able to go through this and play under your federation, Team USA, Team Canada, Finland, Sweden, to be able to be on this stage as we have a certain amount of turnover, a lot of turnover from the last time that we went through this best on best to right now. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, who does Connor McDavid play with? We know how exceptional he is in Edmonton, but how does he slot in? And the Team USA, the firepower that's coming out of that is going to be just wonderful to watch. And I won't even get into the goaltending right now, but there's a lot there. Touched on the Masterton Trophy. Wanted to loop back just for a second as I had a thought in my head as I was talking to Clayton. The Jack Adams Award has a tendency to go to the team that improves the most. I'm not a big fan of that voting style. I don't get a vote, but I'm not a fan of that approach. Like John Cooper, does he not deserve a handful of Jack Adams trophies for his career? And he's been on the outside of making that acceptance speech. So the guys that I'm following right now, and with all due respect to Andre in Arizona, you've got Todd McClellan in Los Angeles. Marvelous job. Goalie-friendly environment. They're getting it done in a drastically non-traditional fashion. Bruce Cassidy coming off the Stanley Cup championship and has his team in first place. That doesn't happen these days. It didn't actually happen in Tampa. John Cooper, without his best player, without arguably the best player in the world, coming into this year for a quarter of the season. You got Pete DeBoer in Dallas and Jim Montgomery. That's my handful of guys who have done great jobs and were with their teams last year and continue to pump out the victories, which is fun to watch. That's my approach. I know Bob, producer Bob, loves the most improved category, and they went from outside the playoffs into contention, like what Derek Lalonde would be. Derek's great. He's been on the podcast. We love him. He's so entertaining. Check out that episode. What a storyteller. And just following his journey, it is from last year. But these guys coaching contenders with expectations is a difficult task. Look what expectations have done to Buffalo. They came into the season with Detroit, with Ottawa, looking to take that next step. When you draft and you develop, there's a process to it. It takes some time. And when you hit and the guys start to really find their footing, it's so fun to watch. But then you get to the eventual point where there's expectations. And sometimes there's a plateau. Buffalo's plateaued right now. And they might need an injection of something else or just another year to get there. I find that Detroit went a different route. They added a lot of free agents kind of sprinkled in some of their draft picks. And Steve Yzerman, it's a hit or miss on free agents, and it's almost instant. And we got Patrick Kane in the lineup. They hit on a lot of their picks, and they're going. Ottawa's a hybrid of the two, and there's no perfect route here. It's up to the players to do it. And right now, Detroit has sped up their process by the players that they've been able to add and have been successful through free agency, and we'll see what happens, or through free agency or trades, because we know what DeBrincat's meant to their hockey club. We'll see how much momentum they carry through to the end of the year with the acquisition and add of Patrick Kane. Actually, we'll get more details on that next week. Jake Wallman's going to join us doing the gritty. He's got a bobblehead doll coming. We'll get him to take us inside that environment and see just what it's been like as they've worked their way into the mix in a very difficult Eastern Conference. It's madness in the Eastern Conference. I don't know whether it's because of the flat cap or not, but it's madness, the flat cap the last few years that's bunched everybody together. And it's going to be absolutely sensational to watch, much different than a couple of years ago when everybody, we knew at this point who the top eight were going to be in. So we'll talk to Jake next week. Really appreciate Clayton joining us. Keep an eye on it. A playoff game and the mullet. And who's the first person that's going to say, they got to move. They got to move it out to Glendale for the playoffs. They got to. There's no way. There's no way if it happens that the Coyotes make the playoffs that they would leave that environment, even though it would obviously give you a lot more revenue, right? Thoughts for another day. Thanks to Bob, thanks to Clayton, and thanks to you for listening on The Chirp with Darren Millard.